GM, everybody, welcome to Flywheel, your number one source for everything Frax, DeFi, and all that's in between. If you want to know what's going on in the world on chain, you've come to the right place. This is DeFi Dave, here by myself again. And I am here to help you harness the power of the Flywheel. Kid is still away. He had a kid. Let's give him a congratulations. New dad. Woo! But yeah, I'm taking this one solo dolo once again. And this time around on Flywheel, we're going on the education and threading Flywheel. And the question I want to pose to everyone today is the modular world. What does it look like? Who are the players in it? What are the different parts and concepts that make up modularization? And what does that world exactly look like? And with that, we have on Nairwolf, who has been an educator for some time. He started at about 3 months ago, coming out with these threads, most notably for Dimension, which is a roll app, chain, basically a chain, that supports these roll apps, which you can think of them as like roll ups. And it really plays into this concept that Sam Kazemian talks about in his ETH Denver speech, that chains are the new smart contracts. And you're seeing this play out, you know, first, I believe it was like with the Cosmos Hub. Now you have, you know, the Ethereum aligned versions with OP Stack and their superchain. And now with Dimension and other solutions coming online and into the fold. But yeah, modular world, it's here. It's here to stay. And it's going to be really excited to see how it plays out and all the different roll apps that come into the fold. But before we get into it, make sure you hit that bell button and subscribe. If you're watching this on YouTube, leave us a comment. Let us know what you think. Give us a like. Make sure you follow us on all our socials at Flywheel DeFi on Twitter, TikTok, and Telegram. Farcaster, we're at Flywheel. Make sure you go ahead to our website, flywheeldefi.com, to subscribe for all the latest updates, all the latest news, all the latest alpha. You don't want to miss this. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at DefiDave22 and on Farcaster at DefiDave. And let's get the flywheel spinning. Do you hold ETH but don't know what to do with it? Want to earn those juicy liquid staking derivative yields but don't know where to start? Well, Frax ETH is there for you. Frax ETH is Frax's native LSD solution, allowing you to earn boosted yields in multiple ways on your ETH. If you want to get started, go to app.frax.finance and turn your ETH into Frax ETH today. All right, everyone. Welcome back to Flywheel. I'm your host, DeFi Dave. And this time around, we bring back on the educators. We bring back on the threaders. And this threader I've seen up and coming for a while with a particular focus on modularity and this new wave of infra projects coming into the fold into crypto and blockchain. We have on Nairwolf. Nairwolf, I pronounced that right, correct?
Correct. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I've been looking forward to this one for a while. Been keeping my eye on you. Honestly, like, learned a lot from your threads. You explain things so well. I like the combination of the fun style and artwork with, you know, the simple explanations that's easy to put in frameworks for these concepts that are, you know, could be complicated, but you break them down easy. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thanks for the kind word. Charlie, like, it has been a great 2 months, well, 3 months now for me since I started this account, and, you know, like, the growth and the nice messages I get were just crazy. It's kind of unbelievable to see this, like, happening, but yeah, super happy with how it goes.
But before we get into the modular world, let's get into Nairwolf. What is your background? How'd you get into crypto, and how'd you get into education and threading?
Well, actually, I'm still like super young. I just graduated from a master in finance. So yeah, something like very TradFi oriented. But like at the end of my studies, I was like, yeah, do I really want to go for the traditional path and do the same thing that like my friends? And I was like, okay, you like DeFi, you are in this shit, if I can say that, for
Yeah.
like 3, 4 years now. It's time to take, the path you like and do what you want to do, right? So I just decided to go all in crypto. So yeah, I started doing some marketing with some protocol on Arbitrum, and then like at some point, I just say to myself, okay, man, go for it. You like to teach stuff. You like to write. You like to draw. What can you do, right? And then like, yeah, it just started. Why not explaining like this difficult stuff in like super easy words, and trying to draw some funny stuff, as you said. There was clearly a gap, and I was just like, okay, go for it. And the first one was on Dimension, and then like it really exploded after. So yeah, that was a great journey, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, and let's go from there. Like for me, I always let my natural curiosity drive me. I believe that brings out the best content. It's just letting your passion forward first, and then the information just kind of comes out. And I definitely see that with your content about dimension and modularity. What attracts you to modularity? What makes you so bullish about it? And why dimension?
Actually, like when I discovered modularity first, it was with Celestia. Well, actually, it's even them that just started the narrative. But yeah, when I started digging into this, I was like, man, this is really big. And like in my head, like everything was really connecting. And it was just like if you were playing with Lego blocks, right? Like I used to say modularity is just like, yeah, you are a kid, you want to build something, you take these Lego blocks and you just craft whatever you want. And actually, modularity is just that, right? You take Celestia's DA, you take, I don't know, like Ethereum as the settlement layer, you can take the Cartesian virtual machine to craft the blockchain that you really want, the blockchain that really fit your use case, right? So yeah, actually I was like, this is the next big thing. I still 100% believe that. So I'm kind of a modular maxi, but it is how it is. And then yeah, at some point, like while I was digging, I just found Dimension, and like from there I was like, okay, this is really the project that I want to highlight in my first thread, because well, like Dimension is kind of the modular example that I want to take, because like you have like the layer one, you have like these rollups that are the layer twos that are has like ERC20 tokens. Well, actually it had like everything I wanted to kickstart my account and talk about modularity, right?
So what makes dimension, what is dimension? What makes it different from, other chains and modular solutions?
Yeah, sure. So actually, like Dimension is made of two things. So there is the Dimension Hub, which is a Dimension layer one. So it handles the settlement and the consensus. And they innovated like with their rollups. So rollups, they are the best way to describe rollups are ERC20, not for tokens, but for chains. So actually, like they made kind of a standard for rollups, if you want. So like these rollups come with like some built-in features. So you have a bridge, you have other stuff. But the thing is, like, you can customize them the way you want after that, right? So it makes them like super easy to deploy, super easy to manage, super easy to run. But you still can like customize them. So like the analogy with the ERC20 like makes sense, right? The ERC20, you have like a few functions that are needed. You have to transfer, you have to, not burn, but well, you have this like function that are needed to be an ERC20. But like, if you want to add like, let's say a tax to this like token, like you can do it, but it's still like an ERC20. While with Rollups, it's exactly the same. Like it's super easy to deploy as an ERC20, and it has like this pre-built like features. Yeah.
What's the difference between Dimension and Cosmos?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, actually. And like a lot of people ask it. And the thing, like the difference is basically like these rollups, right? The way to have like these, like, layer twos, because like the Dimension hub is really a layer one, and the rollups are layer twos to this like Dimension hub, which is the layer one. So you could like see Dimension as like Ethereum as if it was built for rollup, right? So yeah, I mean like these rollups, they are L2s that are standardized. So this is what makes like the real like value proposition of Dimension. And this is the thing that I believe teams that want to really focus on the on their product, but not really on the tech of the chain that they use, like are looking for. So yeah.
Can you give some examples of rollups that are gaining traction right now?
Yeah, actually, like there are four rollups that have been announced as of today. There was actually one today. They are still not live because Dimension has just kickstarted a program that is called the Draft. So actually,
The draft.
like, yeah, the Draft, just like the NBA, And actually, like rollups, they have to go on
The
the
role
government.
draft for the role apps.
Exactly. That's kind of funny. I love the Dimension marketing team, even if they don't have a team. Anyway, like the way they do is like teams that want to launch a rollup. For now, it's permissioned. So they have to come into the governance forum, write their ID, the tokenomics and stuff. And then like at some point there will be a vote, well, a governance vote to say, okay, the rollups can be deployed. Well, all the rollups will be deployed at some point because it will be permissionless in the future. But like if they want funding, the community and like the stakers will have to decide basically. And so there were four rollups for now. There is one which is about DeepIn, one about AI. There is a meme coin, obviously. And the third one is about didn't I forget, but I think it's also about AI, if I'm not wrong. So yeah. DeepIn, AI and meme coin for now. But yeah, I guess a lot of other use cases are coming.
Okay, I got it. So, if I were to describe a dimension, it's a hub for rollups. Like it's a L1 specifically made to proliferate these rollups, and these rollups are basically allow teams to deploy without having to think about the tech, like all the underlying infrastructure. That's all kind of taken care of. They can just focus on creating the best product, and you have different types of rollups coming out that are a lot that are basically following like the things that are trending now, whether it's like DeepIn, AI. I'm sure you're gonna have new ones coming out. I'm sure you have ones in development that aren't trending now, but they will be trending in the future. Did I get that right?
Yeah, 100%. You get what Dimension is like in a
Yeah,
few
it's
words. That's perfect.
yeah, and that's I too am a little bit of an educator, so I try to put these things in my own words to get them. Yeah, this echoes the sentiment that Sam Case from Fraxy said in his ETH Denver talk this past year that chains are the new smart contracts. Before in like 2016, it was really novel to launch your own smart contract, have your own app on Ethereum. That's where I guess the modularity, quote unquote, existed. Was only on you can only do it on the chain. But now with you know, Dimension, obviously like Cosmos started, and now Dimension, other things coming out, Optimism Superchain, like this modular world is coming into the fold. And you know, the how I got particular Cosmos pilled in the beginning, or modular pilled, was back in 2022. I had somebody come on the podcast and he talked about Bearchain in September of 2022. And it was like, oh, is this just like another layer one? But I realized what they were doing at the chain level, and like enshrining a DEX at the chain level, enshrining a lending market and perps market at the chain level. I'm like, wait, like this is possible. And that's what really like chain pilled me. It's like being able to customize like so deep in the chain itself to suit your needs. That isn't possible. That wasn't possible before. Did I get that right? Do you view it the yeah. same way? Do you view it differently?
Or yeah, man, 100%. Like the chains are the new smart contract. I couldn't say better, right? Mm-hmm. When you look at it, like you have DYDX, Ivo, mm-hmm. like all those protocols, they just switch from being live on Ethereum to launching their own chain. Like mm-hmm. if you go back in time, like in 2020, like no one could have imagined that. And now it makes just a ton of sense. And now everyone is like, why this application that is live on Ethereum doesn't go for its own app chain? Because now the, you know, the narrative and the tech has moved, has shifted. And when you look, the perfect example for me is Ivo, right? They use
what's
the
Ivo.
It's the, you know, like it's the derivatives protocol.
Oh, the option. Ivo.
Yeah, and like they use the rollup as a service provider to launch their chain. Like they use a first product. Now they move from Ethereum as a data availability layer to Celestia. Mm-hmm. It's like they use modularity, and I mean just this move, they saved like I don't know like tens of thousands of dollars per month just by using like these two tools, right? And when you look at it, like what's gonna happen in the future, I'm sure there will be like a ton of new innovation that will just like make up chains and application become chains, actually.
I want to get into data availability a bit, because Celestia has, you know, was the first one to really carry the torch. Now you have things like EigenDA coming out. You have Ethereum recently with their blobs making a everything a lot cheaper. Ethereum DA will be a lot cheaper, and now you also have like Near DA, which is like allegedly the cheapest. What do you think of, have you looked into these DA options? Like, do you know the differences of them? And like, yeah, people, you know, it's cheaper, but at what cost? Is there like a catch to it? What do you think of all these different DA options? What makes them different? They all basically do the same thing, and at the end, is it just going to be a race to zero? So like, I don't. Yeah, I'll let you take it from here.
Yeah. Well, obviously, like, you know, the main idea is the same, right? The main idea is to put like the data, not on Ethereum, but elsewhere. So either you put it on the Veil, you put it on Celestia, on Near DA, on EigenDA, whatever, right? Like the way they do it is different. The tech under it is different as well. Like it can become quite tricky. Even me, sometimes I just get lost and I'm like, okay, it's great to have all those products, but at the end they all serve the same purpose, right? So yeah, I mean, now what I can say for sure is that, well, Celestia has a few customers now with Manta, with Ivo as well. So yeah, it's a race now to just onboard new chains to use their product. I'm sure that like this Denkun upgrade will you know just break a bit the growth of like this alternative DA. But I'm sure they will find other ways to be you know attractive to to chains.
Yeah,
So no, it's
it's
go ahead.
crazy seeing the Deku upgrade and how much cheaper transactions has gotten in these L2s. Like less like a third of a cent on OP stack chains to do transactions. I think, and we're gonna start to see the ripple effects of that. Now it basically competes with Solana, and other like L1s. So it's pretty interesting to see. What are your thoughts on, more Ethereum aligned projects and efforts like OP Stack going, and now you have like Arbitrum Orbit, and then you have like the Polygon stuff. What's your thoughts on them going this modular direction, especially with OP with their super chain? They've been really pushing that hard. Hell, even Frax is a super chain. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, actually, they just saw that it works.
It works.
So that's the thing. If you see that, well, a tech works, a tech is like wanted by people. It makes sense to go for it and to try to innovate even more. So honestly, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised to see more and more, projects and big projects like Optimism, like Frax, go for the modularity way. Because, when you think at it, it makes sense, right? Like Optimism, right? Okay, they could just have their rollup and that's it. But the way they have their stack, same for Arbitrum, same for even ZK Sync has its stack. Like, it makes it possible to, create even more modularity. And even for them, like it allows them to, like have customers have like a bigger market share. Like their tech is not constrained into their chain, right? They just open it to everyone. And that's actually the essence of blockchain. So honestly, like I'm super happy to see all these things like evolve. I'm super happy to see, protocol like Frax launching their chain and using like the OP stack, for example. It's super satisfying to see like all those synergies between protocols that like at the beginning you were like, okay, but like, oh, will they collaborate? And now like it just makes sense and you can see it in practice. Honestly, it's super cool to see. And like, yeah, it's
So,
great.
another question I had, like modular is great with this customization and all, but I guess a downside of it is that it breaks composability. With things being on chain, especially everything on their on the same chain, it's very easy for diff. We talk about DeFi money Legos and all these different applications just to be super composable with each other. For example, with Frax. It integrates basically the Curve ecosystem as core infrastructure in keeping the peg. Now with modularity, if everybody's like their own app, I mean their own chain, then where are the apps exactly? So what are your thoughts on this kind of drawback of modularity that it breaks composability?
Yeah. And actually I was writing an article about app chains and like the one of the only like limitation I saw was like this composability and this like interoperability between chains, right? And the thing is like I believe at some point like there will be a project that will find the solution. So we have seen like projects like well, Polygon that is like developing its aggregation layer. You have the Avail, which is building kind of the same but for all chains. And like their goal is to, make the user feel like he's like in a very big chains and like he doesn't even know like on which chain he is like on with which chain he is like interacting. And it's exactly that. Right. So it's great to have all those app chains that are like, between their own worlds, right? But like the protocol that will manage to have like this layer that unifies all the application, in my opinion, will be probably the next big protocol. And it's definitely something that we need because like as you just said, like DeFi Legos, but there is not only like DeFi Legos, there were like so many other opportunities, like with this composability, and like it needs to be unlocked, and I'm pretty sure it will be in the future.
It's funny now. It's everyone's trying to be the underlying standard. It's like, oh, like we're under the OP stack standard. Like, oh, we're the Cosmos hub. Like everyone could be a Cosmos chain, or like, oh, Dimension. But it's, you know, I was reading Read, Write, Own. And what I realized from reading Read, Write, Own is that we got so lucky with the internet because it was around for so long, just between like academics, researchers, government types, that there was no incentive to create a competitor because there was no one thought of a way to make it profitable yet. And so it was around for like 10, 15 years before the internet became much more consumer facing. And by the time it became much more consumer facing and all these different layers of the internet, like IP protocol, like HTTP, all this stuff, there was like no chance for a competitor, quote unquote, internet to come about, and everybody had to be on their own playing field. But now with blockchain, everyone's is incentivized to create their own competing standard. For, you know, there's like Bitcoin, and like 10 years ago, everybody thought like everything will be on Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the end all be all. But then then Ethereum came along and it really changed some things. And now you have Solana coming along and now all these different layers. So it's hard to imagine, like everyone's trying to be that underlying competing standard that connects everything. And then you have these bridging solutions, whether it's like Layer Zero, Axelar. So I feel like we're going to be in these islands for a while. And what's going to happen is eventually someone, like there's going to be a solution that wins out or that becomes the majority of the market. It's probably like 80% or something. Like that's how it usually goes. Or there'll be like a few pillars of this modular, like underlying modular infrastructure that become, you know, the market leaders. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on like what I just said of the, everyone's incentivized to like create their own quote unquote standard. And then there's these competitors and then people come along like, oh, we're going to create a new standard.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I actually share exactly the same feeling than you. Right. Mm-hmm. But something that I feel could happen as well is that like blockchains that will eventually succeed will all have their own use case. Right. So let's say, Ethereum will be like for, I don't know, high value transactions. Okay. They will be, I don't know, like, a protocol that will be only for GameFi, right? Solana will be maybe just for, I don't know, like not meme coin trading, right? Another use case, right? And like they will, in my opinion, like at some point in the future, like there will be one use case per blockchain, right? And under all those blockchain, there will be one kind of a layer that just like unify all those chain. And that makes like the user feel he's just interacting with one chain, right?
Yeah.
And like, in my opinion, it's something that will probably happen. There will be other, you know, great protocol that will, you know.
I feel like the unifying standard is less likely to come from infra and more likely to come from UI facing application, because right now there's all these different wallet standards, this and that, and there's people are incentivized to create more standards, but no one is really creating like, yeah, there's these different wallets, but there isn't a Google of wallets interacting with the chain yet. You know, MetaMask is still primarily for Ethereum. Yes, you have Phantom for Solana, but there isn't something that's like, oh, we're gonna like do all these chains. And like, it's a very easy to go back and, you know, back and forth. Sure.
Yeah, 100%. And that's maybe one of the problem of blockchains as well, right? Like the competition has maybe gone too far.
Yeah.
Even if competition is always better because like it push innovation further, right? But like, I feel like in blockchain, maybe it went too far in the sense that like there's just too many chains, too many wallet, and we just need at some point to have like a standard, right? We need to have like this beacon that we just say, okay, like now I know that like this chain or like this bundle of chain is where I want to go. And that will be the future, and that would be like super clear, like in the head of like people, right? Because now sometimes I just like put myself in the you know, in the shoes of my mother, for example, like, and I so and I say her, okay, go for it, like just dig into blockchain. I mean, like, where should
where do they start? Where do they st
yeah, you know, like where should she start?
And that's why I love your threads. It's because it's an easy place for people to start and to learn and to get familiar about these complex concepts. I'm curious, where does your style come from? I believe I've seen this meme character before. There's this one meme I'm like, it's like really right in front of my crab ragoons. And it's your character holding these crab ragoons. It's so random, so funny. I forget the name of that character, but I'm that's I know that's it. But like, what's the name of it? What's the why him? Like, what's the inspiration for it?
Yeah, actually, it's exactly this character that I saw at some point. Like, it was in Christmas, and he had like this like Santa stuff around it, and I was like, yeah, it's so funny. And so I just decided to just inspire myself. I think it's called Flork or something like
Flork,
that. Yeah,
Flork, got it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so I just decided to change it a bit, and now I call them Nolf, just the diminution of Nayrolf. But anyway, and so you know, like, I was just like, if you look at it, like a thread is kind of hard to read, like for people, especially for me. It's not that I don't like the thread format, but like it's kind of hard, right? You have to click on it and then scroll down. You know, it's kind of hard to keep up, right? And so I was like, what should I do to keep people interested in the thread while they just scroll down, right? And so this funny memes were kind of the thing that I would want to see, like when I read. So I was like, okay, I would just draw, and then I saw this like Floric, and I just adapted it. And now, yeah, I try to that every 2, 3, 4 tweets to have like this image, so that like it's not too, you know, hard to read, and keep easy words, and just like explain, right? That's how it should go.
Yeah, exactly. Is there like a particular thread that's a favorite, or a thread that you took off, or a thread that sticks out that you've done, other than Dimension?
Obviously Dimension, but like the other one, I would say Berachain. Berachain, and I actually like took a lot of pleasure to do it, because you know, like I customized the Floric with the beer as well. So yeah, that was pretty funny for me. And Berachain is like one of my favorite projects as well. I really like their Polaris VM. Actually, I think like this is an unbelievable tech. They will probably do great when they launch. So yeah, I would say the Berachain one, it did great. So yeah, obviously.
Yeah, I agree Berachain. With that. Yeah, definitely. I think Polaris is like, what they've built is really cool. You know, we had on Smokey recently, and you know, their testnet has been, you know, going off the charts. It's been crazy. I really like their approach. They started with community. They started with this community of DeFi degens, with these like ridiculous weed smoking bears. And they just started asking questions to the community, like, hey, like, what are you looking in your DeFi experience? Like, what is working? What do you like? What is it working? What don't you like? And they were basically able to create a chain in an L1 from first principles, with all the information they gathered and all this stuff in mind, and out came Berachain.
It's honestly impressive. It's impressive. Yeah. They got it like 100%. They just, like, you know, in crypto, like I always say, a project can be very good, but if it has like no community or bad community, it won't succeed. And the thing with Berachain is that they have a great community. They have a great product. So honestly, like, what can we say more, right? Like the tech is great. The team is just unbelievable behind it, because like, it's something to mention. The team behind bearer chain, they know their shit,
They know their shit, yeah.
obviously. So yeah, with like the community they have, I can clearly see a great future for bearer chain, yeah.
Yeah. Switching gears a bit, something that you have educated, tweeted, threaded about is this concept known as parallelization. And you see different chains such as, say, Monad, of course, Solana, that have parallelization within their chains or rollups. Can you go into what parallelization is, what makes it so powerful?
Yeah. Obviously, like some chains like took another path to, just have a higher throughput or to have like way more scalability. And this is like one of these this option is parallelization. So for the time, as I describe it, is like doing multiple things at once, right? So basically they will receive a lot of transaction. So just like Ethereum, right? Ethereum receive a lot of transaction, but the thing is, they will process one transaction, then the other, then the third one, then the fourth one, et cetera, et cetera. The thing with Solana, with Say, with this like blockchain that use parallelization is that, well, okay, they will receive all those transactions and they will just search for the transaction that are not linked, right? So let's say you swap Frax for Curve. And I just sent, 10 ETH to another friend. So these two transactions, they have nothing to do with each other, right? So it could be processed in parallel. And the thing is, like, if you don't process them like one, then the other, but you processed like two in one, well, your throughput and your capacity is has increased a lot. And that's basically what they do. And that's pretty like amazing. But like their main challenge is just to identify which transactions are linked and which are not, right?
It sounds
And
like modularity with transactions. It's like in this category, we have the fees go up, but in this category and everywhere else, it stays, low.
exactly. That's like, like they also did this transaction and then they just have to part them like in the way that they want. It's just like it's well thought actually. So that's why I decided to do my threads on that as well. It's not really like modular. If you think of it like say Monad or Solana aren't that modular as chains, but it's just that this concept of parallelization is, in my opinion, like worth nothing is super important and a great a great tech that in my opinion like teams like Say and Solana have managed to quite well market as well. And if I'm not mistaken, I saw that Say now has like its own stack.
The Say stack.
Yeah, I wouldn't be like 100% sure, but I think I saw that on Twitter yesterday or the day before. So that's super interesting. And that's something I have to research.
Yeah, I'm
Absolutely.
curious, what threads do you have coming out in the future? What's in the drafts right now?
See, that's a good question because actually like I have so much like request in DM.
Oh, I'm sure it's like, oh, do this one, that one, that one.
Yeah, 100%. And it's like, yeah, could you do this one? Because I can't understand it. But I'm like, yeah, okay. So yeah, I have to do one on BitTensor subnet because like I always saw Tao,
Oh,
the Tao
true.
token is going up. And so I have to do like one on like the subnets, because like it's kinda cool the way they do it. There is probably one that is coming as well on another sequencer because I like that as well, and probably one on alternative virtual machine. That's a topic that is, in my opinion, super important and that will be like trending at some point in
Wait, what
2024,
token is that?
2025.
The last thing is Artenet?
It's alternative virtual machine.
Altronaut. Altronaut virtual. Okay, AVM.
AVM. So there is like Move, there is Cartesi, there is like a lot of projects that are building these like virtual machines that are so powerful, so different than the EVM, and like it's a topic that is super important, and I'm pretty sure like that's somewhere in 2024 or maybe 2025 that it will be a hot topic. Yeah.
And so what makes the AVM different from other virtual machines? How does it work?
Yeah, well, it actually depends on like the implementation. But for example, you have like Fluent, which is a protocol that is building a layer two, and they develop their own in-house virtual machine that is powered by ZK Wasm. So basically they allow you to build decentralized application in the programming language that is called Wasm. So basically it's like, it means that you can build in C++ or whatever other programming languages that you know, yeah, with all the libraries that are available. So it's game changing for developers, right? Like if you are from Web2, you probably maybe don't want to learn Solidity, right? Okay. Because like it's quite new. There is not that much libraries. Well, there are some, right? Some great one. But you, if you want something that is more custom, or that is like, if you want to build you know, a GameFi project, like at some point you will maybe have to, you know, write some stuff from scratch, and you know, devs, that's not what they want, right? So there's like alternative virtual machine. They can, well, based on what they do, some can like allow you basically to write a smart contract and decentralized application, like as if you were building a Web2 project, which is, okay, in my opinion,
it must be a lot easier bringing on people. But like my thing with like Wasm though, like this has been a thing for a while and it hasn't really taken off yet. I feel like EVM still has like such a Lindy network effect that even though Solidity may be like not the best code, like virtual machine, like code for it, or EVM may not be like the smoothest virtual machine because it was first, but the fact that it was first, it was able to create this like network effect. You're now starting to see this a bit now with Solana and the SVM, especially with Eclipse coming out. But right now the EVM is still dominating.
Yeah, and the EVM will still dominating in the future. Okay, like don't get me wrong, I'm pretty sure it will still be there like in 10, 20 years, because it's basically like the, as you said, the first, and it's still a great tech. But like for some use cases, you will need like alternative virtual machine, because like they will allow you basically to have way better performance and way better throughput and customability than the EVM. So yeah, I'm pretty bullish on that. Not for taking down the EVM, but to you know, allow other projects with specific use cases to, you know, be developed on chains that accept those like different virtual machine.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And speaking of, you know, other chains and rollups, we have the launch of Fraxtl, which is rolling out right now. I'm curious, like, if you're familiar with Fraxtl at all, what they're doing, what we're doing at Fraxtl and Frax.
Actually, like, it's on my to-do list as well. So yeah, I haven't had the chance to look at it like in depth. So I just know that it's on the Upstack. But yeah, more than that, I don't know, but would be pretty happy to know.
I'm here to help you out. This is why we have you on the pod, and I'm trying to get you right about Fraxtl. So yes, Fraxtl, EVM equivalent, OP stack rollup. You know, their whole pitch, there's two main highlights of it that I want people to focus on. There's the M2, not L2, and then the Phlox points. So with the M2, not L2, over the past 2 years, Frax has built this Lindy effect in liabilities. So by I mean they're stable coins. That's what I mean by liabilities. So Frax, you know, 600, 700 million in circulation. Frax ETH, $1 billion in TVL. They have their CPI, peg stablecoin, FPI. And it's used across DeFi, all, you know, all and on all different chains. And so What the thing is with Fraxel, it goes, instead of just being at the app layer, there's not this infrastructure supporting the settlement of these liabilities. And eventually, then, there's one Fraxel, but you can have multiple Fraxels. You can have like hundreds of Fraxels in the future. So if you're a chain, doesn't matter if you're EVM, SVM, L1, L2, if you integrate, becoming a Fraxel in the same way that you integrate becoming a DA layer for Celestia, Eigen, Near, blah, blah, blah. You can basically have native Frax on your chain and it just settles to the main Fraxel. So like the whole pitch right now is M2, not L2. So with M2, M2 is the second layer of money. For M1 is raw money itself. It's really like dollars, gold. The M2, well, with M1 also with ETH, it's just like raw ETH. With the M2, it's the near equivalent that's hyper liquid and super liquid. So with dollars, an M2 would be, money's in your savings account. And people don't think of money in your savings account as not money, but technically it's an IOU. With Ethereum, the M2 of Ethereum is these LSTs. You have Lido, you have Fraxeth, you have Rocket Pool, whatnot. And so, and also like stablecoins are like technically like an M2 as well. But the M1 is the raw asset and liability, and M2 is the near is the hyperliquid near equivalent of the M1. And so, what Frax is trying to do, their mission is to be the M2 layer of the most important assets in the 21st century. And so that's, they have Frax, the dollar peg stablecoin, Fraxeth, and also in the future of like FRX BTC. So that's like one side of the infrastructure level pitch. The next layer is with the Phlox incentives. And the idea behind that is you have points coming out and incentives at the chain level, at the infrastructure level, are a lot different than incentives at the application level. At the application level, you're like incentivizing liquidity, you're incentivizing people using the dApp. At the chain level, you're incentivizing activities on the chain. And so the thinking behind this is like, okay, we have that. And we want to do it in an automated fashion. We don't want to just be like, okay, like every quarter we have a few guys in a room that are saying like, hey, these get points this time. It's not really on chain. It's like hard, it's hard to like gauge the methodology of it. With Phlox, Phlox is the Google PageRank of points incentives. And so what, with PageRank on with Google, it's like, okay, the most linked and most popular websites, they're higher in the rankings. With the Phlox incentives, the most popular smart contracts that are used, they get the most Phlox points, and they have like Phlox rank and everything that judges that. So Phlox rank, what goes into Phlox rank are smart contracts use. So like most popular smart contracts and users of those most popular smart contracts, they have VE boost. So if you have staked VEFXS, and then you have asset allocation. So if you're holding ha assets on the chain, like if you're holding Frax or Fraxeth, or may other approved assets, it could be PYUSD, it could be DAI, it could be whatever we want on the chain, whether we want people to hold on the chain, then they get allocated Fraxel points as well. So I think that's really, really smart, like having the asset allocation as well, because you want people to hold on the chain. If they're holding on the chain, they're more likely to use the chain. And you have the Phlox points, Phlox, you have like the Phlox rank calculated every week. And what's cool about the Phlox rank is if I'm a builder and I'm like looking for a chain to deploy my app on or my dApp on, and I can see who the power users are on the chain. And it's like, oh, like these people are like using popular smart contracts. These people have assets on the chain. I want to airdrop to these people. I want to incentivize these people. So it does the work for me. So it's this Phlox rank. It's this really novel mechanism. I think you're going to see a lot of people, like a lot of projects. And you're seeing like now all this is live, like the Fraxel points is, and Phlox rank is live. And you're seeing like all these cool, like different games being developed that play around with the Fractal points. And so But yeah, that's like kind of the gist of Fractal. It's going for the settlement play, but like settlement of liabilities, not really like not settlement in for well, so settlement security, like that's handled by Ethereum. Can settlement consensus Ethereum, you have their Fractal DA, which actually posts to multiple DA solutions, so posts to like Celestia near DA, and they have execution, and execution is the OP stack. But execution, but settlement of liabilities, that is done with Fractal. So that is my explain. That's what I've gathered from Frax and Sam and the team over the past few weeks and at ETH Denver. Does that make sense? Do you have any questions?
That makes sense. That's a lot of information, but that's great. I will 100% have to do a thread on that
Yeah,
because like it sounds super super interesting.
I can like send you more information after the show. Would love to see you do a thread on it. I'm sure you could just listen to this part again. But yeah, we're nearing the end of the pod. I had like another what? So I asked like, what other things are you excited? What threads are you making? Like, what other things are you excited about going into 2024? What tips do you have for educators and threaders that may like want to start doing stuff?
Yeah, so I will start with the thing I'm like super excited about. So yeah, obviously dimension, modularity, and trying to find this like layer that will connect all those blockchains and make me and other users of blockchain feel like we are on the internet, right? Feel like there is only one blockchain we interact about with. So that's one thing. Also alternative virtual machine. And yeah, all the projects that are coming, right? We have Monad, we have Barrachain. Like the future is super bright for crypto and for blockchain in general. So yeah, I'm super bullish on the space in general. The vibe is great. Obviously the
Vibes are
market
good.
is,
Vibes are
yeah,
good.
obviously the market helps. But I mean, like even when the market wasn't helping, like the vibe was still good. So yeah, super bullish on the space in general. Some like more in-depth thing that I would love to see, but otherwise, yeah, super, super, super bullish. On the second part of the question, some advices for creators and like educators. I would say try to find your edge. Like there are so many threaders on Twitter, so many ChatGPT generated content, and so many bullshit that no one's want actually to read. So just be yourself, try to have an edge. So for example, it can be like visuals, it can be like, I don't know, like a great concept, whatever, but be yourself, find an edge and just never give up, because yeah, it's a very, very hard ecosystem to be in. It's a great ecosystem, but like there are a ton of competition. So yeah,
Find your
just
edge. Find your
find
edge.
your edge. Exactly. Find your edge.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. At the end of every pod, we like to do a lightning round to, get to know the man or the how do I say the character, the Rolf, the Knopf. What's the name? Yeah. Outside the chain. So a few lightning round questions. When did you first touch the chain? And sex don't count. So centralized exchanges don't count.
Actually, it's super interesting. Do you know the Chili's blockchain, which is the
Yeah,
fan
chills.
engagement
Yeah,
stuff?
the gaming
And
stuff. Yeah.
actually, it's how I went into crypto. I didn't even know it was crypto, so it was back in
Interesting.
2019. Yeah, it was back in 2019. I was a big fan of FC Barcelona, and they at some point partnered with them. And so I was like, okay, I want this fan tokens. I want to see what's going on there. I want to have like a say in like some like good polls. And then like yeah, I think like in 2020 at some point, like Chili's pumped. And like on my application, I was like, what the fuck? Why do I have so much money? And then at some point, like I
Oh,
just
2020, yeah.
discovered, like I discovered what was crypto actually. And like I fortunately I don't just stop at money and speculation. I went deep into the tech and yeah, just never left.
Got it. That's the first one I've heard the Chili's route. So next question. What is your touch grass activity? What do you like to do outside of being on chain?
Actually, I like to go into the wood. So I run a lot and I work a lot. So yeah, actually like every, 3, 4 hours, I just try to go out, in the wood, being like in a super calm, place. So it changed from Twitter and all this stuff. It's just like me and the nature and it's just great. Yeah.
And next question. What would be advice to your younger self?
Oof, that's a tricky one. But just like let life comes to you. Don't try to plan too much. Just let things unfold, right?
The universe
Just
tends to unfold as it should.
exactly.
And my last question is, who would you like to see on the show? Who would you recommend as a guest?
Handy, but I think you did one. So Handy, the guy that is a lot into modularity as well. Otherwise, yeah, probably Barry from Dimension. He
Oh,
could
Barry,
probably
yeah.
talk more about what Dimension is, like the difference with Cosmos and all those like very in-deep technical topics better than me, way better than me. And it's someone that is like
I think you're pretty good.
super great
That's why you're on here.
as well. Thanks.
And that's it for the lightning round. Where can people find you and your work?
Mainly on Twitter. I will probably start a Substack to try to go for more long form article, even if I like short format. But yeah, mainly on Twitter. So OX Nirolf, just as you saw on the screen, and this is my handle. Yeah.
Thank you for coming on. And if you want to keep up with Flywheel, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Flywheel DeFi, as well as our other socials on Twitter, I mean TikTok, Telegram at Flywheel DeFi, one forecaster as well, at Flywheel. You can go ahead, subscribe to us on our website, flywheeldefi.com, for all the latest alpha news and Frax Alpha. You'll thank yourself later. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube. Hit that bell button for all the latest notifications. Leave us a comment. Let us know what you think. Give us a like. You can follow me on Twitter at DeFiDave22 and as well as Forecaster at DeFiDave. Thank you so much, Narwhal, for coming on, and we hope to see you again soon.
See you guys.
Thanks. Everything said on this episode is not financial or tax advice. This channel is strictly for educational purposes and is not an investment advice or solicitation to buy or sell any assets or to make any financial decisions. This video is not tax advice whatsoever. Please talk to your accountant and do your own research.